anyone get an outline tonight that would like one? We're available if you'd like to follow along. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday night in lesson 11. When I started this series, I wasn't sure how long it would take to get through or how I would look at it, but boy, it's been taking a little longer than I anticipated, so we're just on chapter 8 tonight. We'll look at the whole chapter. But by way of introduction, I was thinking we're going to talk about humility in this chapter. About 50 years ago, there was a man named Mac Davis, if I remember right. He had a song out. The song began, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." Someone else said it's hard to be humble when you're from Texas. I'm not sure. But being self-centered people that we are, at least most of us, there's a lot we would change to suit ourselves if we could. But there are more things in life that we cannot change than we can change. And that truth is a recipe for wisdom through humility. So I put in your notes, and humility in part means being content when change is not possible. It humbles us. So Solomon in chapter 8 reminds us about things that make us humble. I've listed 5 things. You may find more in that chapter. But I've just kind of outlined it this way. Number 1, be ye humble, what I titled it. Be ye humble in knowing what you do not know. That humbles us. Number 2 is humility is brought about by living with what you don't like. Number 3, it's in accepting what you cannot change. Number 4, it's in enjoying what you cannot explain. And all of these are right in the verses. Number 5, it's in discovering what you cannot discover. Discover that. Kind of like number 1 in the notes. Let's take a look at each one of these. Number 1 is found in verse 1. In knowing what you do not know. And I'll read the verse with you or for you. Verse 1, he answers the question with another question. And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. You know, putting your nose throughout the Bible, we're warned against being wise in our own eyes, or pride-filled, smug. So Solomon says, a wise man has a shining face, or a glowing countenance, if you will, because he knows what he does not know about the interpretation of a thing. Let's rewrite verse 1. A wise man's face is changed from sternness, and I think back to a shining face or gentleness, because he knows this. I just know what I don't know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul said, knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. So it's a wise and humble person who knows what he does not know, what he cannot know, what he does not need to know, because you can't know it all. Well, that's verse 1. So if you think you know it all, you're suffering from pride. But because we don't know, that's humbling. It's humbling. In number 2, it starts in verse 2, verses 2 through 7. Living with what you don't like. People do that all the time. I think of those folks over live in Phoenix in the summertime. But they must like it because they don't move. They live. Probably most of them said, I'm living with what I don't like. Well, Solomon says that beginning in verse 2. Here's how it reads. I say, keep the king's commandment. For the sake of your oath to God, do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing. For he does whatever he pleases that king's command. Where the word of a king is, there's power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? In verse 5, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmment. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment. Though the misery of a man increases greatly, he does not know what will happen. Or who can tell him when it will occur? See, much in Solomon begins in verse 2, much of our daily lives is controlled by the dictates and the desires and the needs of others. Much of our life is controlled by the dictates of others. Whether it be government, I mean the king, or our boss. I have to work on the holiday this weekend, Brian. Well, I'm living with what I don't like. Might be family members. Granddaughter determines our needs many times, but I like my granddaughter. Love my granddaughter. But she dictates a lot of my movements. Weather. Yeah. The time change coming up November 7th, we have to, some people don't like that. We have to live with it. You can add to the list. There could be breakdowns, contractors not on time, whatever it is. But Solomon begins in verse 2 by saying, you know, David, we're reminded that we'll be required to do things that we'd rather not do. And being in situations we can't control, we don't like that, and that's humbling. I have to submit. In verse 2, he says, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. So I put in your notes, maybe, or sometimes, because maybe you don't like the king or the king's command. But rather you obey and submit because of your loyalty to God. Have an obligation. As long as we're not asked to do something that violates God's law, we understand that. The law may allow something that I don't like, and so I won't follow that if it violates God's command. And so this section reminds us of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, where the Apostle Paul gives us lots of information about government, the king's command. And in verse 4 of that Romans chapter 13, Paul said, For he's God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, for you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Yeah, so there's going to be times that I'm going to be living with what I don't like. So it's humbling. First of all, to know what you don't know. And now living with what you don't like. I remember when I was substitute teaching. Went into a classroom. It was a high school classroom. And the teacher had a poster on the board in large print on the top. It just said, challenge authority. And then a smaller print all across the bottom, it says, but raise your hand first. It's just saying, go through proper channels. You may not like with what we have to live with, but we don't become vigilante. We have to live with some things. I remember in our business meeting years and years ago when Palmer Wilson was alive, Pam's father. And in the meeting, we'd have to make our discussions, and there might be a motion to say or do something, and Palmer would have his say, and other would go around the room, and everybody would make their discussion, and Palmer would really conclude. He said, "You know, whatever the men decide, that's what I'll go along with, even if that's what was not his position." Palmer learned in that situation, I'm going to live with. Maybe I don't like the men's decision, but I'm going to live with it. Solomon says that, right here. In verse 5, he says, a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. And then in verse 7, he concludes, even then he doesn't know what will happen, and that's humbling. That's humbling. Yeah. So number 3, in verses 8 through 14, it's in accepting what you can't change. Boy, that's a lot in our life, isn't it? A lot of these are similar. Some says, in accepting what you can't change, the point follows that one above. If we do something we don't like, we can't change it because we're not in control and we have to live with it. And if we could change it to our liking, we would. Yeah. So I put Will Rogers that everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. We live with what we can't change. Here are four things that Solomon lists that many times we cannot control or change. Number one is death. That's an obvious one, isn't it? But Solomon mentions it. It's in verse 8. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. And no one has power in the day of death. There's no release from that war. And wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. Right? You know, we often hear in life there's two things that we can't avoid. You know, death and taxes. We can't change death and taxes. Now, we can change taxes, but death we can't change. Death is that great symbol of just how little control we have over things that we can't change. Solomon says that. There's no battle or war that can take away death. And so Solomon uses that phrase. There's no release from that war. Can't get out of death. Death wins every battle. So it's humbling to know that when it comes to death, the old expression, we can run but we can't hide. It'll get to us. Not to accept something I can't change. The second illustration that Solomon uses is hurt. Hurt. In verse 9. It says, all this I've seen. Yeah. Applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. And there's a time in which one man rules over another, but it's to his own hurt. Yes, it will be hurt and disappointed by others and people that we trust. But Solomon says that this time there'll be those who have power to hurt, and they'll hurt us, but to their own destruction. And because of those hurtful experiences, in contrast, we have to make the application or give the lesson. We learn to keep our focus on the Lord who will not disappoint. We see this in life, and so that's one of the things we learn and we encourage one another in when we assemble together for our Bible class and our worship assembly. It's a time to encourage us to stay on God's side and let people know to whom we belong. Because there are those who will hurt, but to their own destruction. Number three in this section of accepting, which is hypocrisy. Can't change that. In verse 10, it says, then I saw the wicked buried. So a funeral. I saw a funeral. This wicked man who had gone from the place of holiness. Vanity. So explain that Solomon observes the funeral of a man who frequented the temple, but he lived a wicked life. I saw this man, I saw the wicked buried, but he'd come from the place of holiness. Hypocrisy. This person had deceived the people who knew him, and they utilized him in grand fashion at the funeral. Said they were forgotten in the city, so the people in the city, they said, it doesn't matter what the wickedness was. He's been to the temple or the place of holiness. So they give him a grand funeral. Even happens today, doesn't it? Put in your notes. You know, sometimes we see on the television coverage of the death of a very public figure who everyone knew was a scoundrel. I'm not calling names. But yet he's heralded, or she, as a passing saint. So there's a great deal of deception in our world which you and I cannot change. And Solomon points that out. This is what I see. The fourth thing in this section is in verses 11 through 14. This defiance or disregard. Beginning at verse 11. Because, so here's a reason. Cause and reaction. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, but because that situation exists. Therefore, what's going to happen? The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Yeah. Though a sinner does evil 100 times, his days are prolonged. Yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear before him, meaning God. But it will not be well with the wicked. Nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear or believe God before God. There is a vanity which occurs on earth. Yeah. There are just men to whom happens according to the work of the wicked. There are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said this also is vanity. Solomon has said that before, hasn't he? We talked about the reverse rewards. Why do the wicked prosper and not always the righteous? The reverse. Solomon said, I see that. Yeah. So in throughout society, we see people shaking their fist in the face of authority. And ultimately in the face of God. Because judgment is not swift, Solomon says. So they are set in their ways to continue to do that which is evil. But Solomon said it will not be well with the wicked. Obviously, if you do not fear authority, you do not fear God, there will be a judgment day and a price to pay. So Solomon says there is a vanity that occurs on earth. That's right. It happens all the time. Makes no sense at all to those of us who are striving to do that which is right. But when there's not swift judgment, they are set to continue in wickedness. And it's interesting, Solomon again points that out. The good people get what's coming to the wicked, and sometimes the people that are wicked to get the good things. That reverse rewards. That's what he sees on earth. Yeah. So I just put in the under this main section. Again, there's certain things we can't change. There will be death and hurt and hypocrisy and defiance to authority. Number four is found in verse 15. Enjoy what you can't explain. So here's what he says. So, after saying all of this, so I commended enjoyment. Because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. So it seemed when I read this, it seems odd for Solomon to only all of a sudden talk about enjoyment. Right after he's talked about death and hurt and hypocrisy and defiance. But that's his point. We can't change it. So God is encouraging us through Solomon, enjoy the enjoyable moments you have that are God-given. Otherwise, I would be so discouraged from what I see that's taking place on earth, it would overwhelm me. And it would just sink me if I didn't find time to enjoy the things that are God-given. And Solomon says that. So I put in your notes too, by way of a little bit of explanation, God's not asked us to forfeit the joy of life as a result of unchangeable worldly woes. And we see it. We eat, drink, and we're merry because it's the fruit of our labor. And so Solomon says, which God gives him under the sun. That's right. So we pursue these things out of gratitude to God who gives us that privilege in the midst of things that we can't change. So we count each day as precious. We live it to the fullest. And we thank God all the while for the opportunity to do so. Even in the midst of a world of vanity, things we can't change. And says, I say again, that's humbling. The last one, verses 16. Discovering what you can't discover. Solomon uses that word discover. Verse 16. So when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though no one sleeps, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. I just discovered that I can't discover. Says, though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. Three times in those two verses, he said, man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, yet he attempts to discover it, he will not find it. And even though he attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. Three times. You can't find it. Can't discover it. Kind of humbling. A man named Eugene Peterson, he wrote a paraphrase of the Bible, and when he says about this verse, he says, I realize that if you keep your eyes open day and night without even blinking, you'll still never figure out the meaning of God and of what God is doing on this earth. Solomon says, you can apply, look at the list in those two verses. You can apply your heart, you can lose sleep, labor, attempt, but you still can't discover all the works that God does under the sun. Wow. But keep up the search. Keep studying. But Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do all the works of His or God's law. So we keep searching. What God has revealed is for us to know. But we still can't search out everything. So there's the list in chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes. Next week, Lord willing, chapter 9. Chapter 9, Solomon has mentioned this several times, even in this lesson, chapter 8, but it's all about death. A lot of verses, Solomon says, and he gives, what should our response be to death? All of chapter 9, a single subject, death and dying. Wait. No dialogue. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. An invitation for you to and me to stand on God's side, to make a decision to be a Christian if you have not done so already. So that it's a heavenly invitation. It's not one that we made up. So Jesus gives it out. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. So he gives us that invitation, promises to help, to be with us all the way. So he sends his disciples out, or apostles out into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's a good news message. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's right. So that's the invitation we extend. If you haven't obeyed that already, you have that opportunity. If you want to ask brethren for strength or prayers or encouragement, we can open that up also. So let's stand together. If you are able to sing this song, encouragement, invitation, if that's your desire to respond in a public way, please do so while we're singing this song.